Welcome to the Creative Play and Podcast Network. Join us as we share our favorite RPGs, one-shot games, tabletop games, reviews, and convention panels. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Kelly, aka Trixie from Ragnarok and Roll, assigned to Ragnarok Story, and Tilda Wimblewick from D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. First off, I would just like to say thank you to everyone for listening to our varied adventures, as well as for rating us on iTunes and RPGpodcast.com. If you haven't rated us yet, we would greatly appreciate it if you could. And if you're looking for more ways to support our efforts, we are now on Patreon, a great site where you can help us continue making more podcasts, as well as some special surprises for our patrons. If you can, please look us up at www.patreon.com/cppn. Every little bit helps. And again, thank you for listening.
So, whenever I put the official title down, guys, this is about building characters, whether it's an original character or a crossover character. I've done the panel the past few years focusing on crossovers, taking characters that are already built, turning them into steampunk. But it's pretty much the same process when you're creating your own characters, so it's like, why differentiate? I pull it into the panel all the time, let's just, include everything like we do with the con. So, I'm also bad at introductions. My name is Orbit. I've been coming here. This is my 6th year, 3rd, I think, on panels, 3rd or 4th. I've been making one minion, and I go every year I come, so because I keep forgetting how long I've been here. So, little things to keep my mind on track. Our other panelist must be on her way. We all had a late night last night. I was driving in and everything, so she will hopefully lead a way.
Morning.
Where did you drive in from?
Morning Mountain Dew.
I'm from Utah, so I don't like to do the full drive. I'm half hour north of Salt Lake, so I will drive to Mesquite and spend the night because they have cheap rooms at a hotel there and a breakfast buffet, and then I make the rest of the drive.
So you actually went to Nevada to get back, or to get to Arizona,
so I go up that way. And the construction shut down the freeway yesterday, so it was even later getting there. It's here or there. Okay, so when you're creating your character, the first thing you absolutely have to do is choose a character. You gotta know what you're building here. It's like any other artistry. And that's what cosplay is. This is our art. This is taking what is inside your head and your imagination. You are the board or whatever that you are painting or creating. You are the material, and I knew she would be here soon.
I was trying to see without my eyes, and I was like...
It's okay. I got mixed up and thought we were 10th, and tomorrow's the 30th. Today's 10th. So... This is our resident Harley.
Sorry.
It looks better than the one I made. I didn't have the elves.
That's cool.
You want to?
Some of you may know me as Harley, the EMS person. I've been doing Harley for, this is 12, so 8 years now, 9 years? The first con I did, just truly Victorian. Hoop skirt, which was not a smart move, on a windy day at Old Tucson. I blew away many a time. I was like, that is boring, so Harley was creative.
So once you choose your character and who you're going to build, you're going to put them into the steampunk world. And steampunk is basically 19th century sci-fi, I think. We're all pretty familiar with it, but it can be anywhere in the world. A lot of people want to say, oh, it's got to be Victorian to be true steampunk. No, we're at Wild West Con. Put him in the West. We've seen, I have a minion who goes safari hunting. Put him in Africa. You know, it's, they can be anywhere in the world because it's sci-fi. There's the only limitation is your own imagination, sometimes abilities to make things. And then you're going to start building your costume to fit. And your costume is what tells the story. It's what lets people know who you are, what you've been through. And that's the hardest thing is there are certain aspects that it's hard to express. My friend last night was asking me about how do I portray an anti-hero? And it's really hard to do that through your costume because anti-heroes wear the actions. They are doing heroic actions for kind of somewhat villainous reasons. So I'm like, well, mate, the best I can come up with is dress your hero, but have something on there that's kind of villainous to kind of show that you don't really play by the rules. And it's really hard to think of what to do, you know. So some of these, you can't do everything through the costume, but there's so much you can do. Just as you go along building, one of the reasons I always like to do glue for this panel is because I have a bunch of examples over here. The minion Kevin up front with the part that I'm hanging out is the first one that I did. I went kind of standard Victorian and everything with him. But he's grown as we have gone through year by year and have added some things. The one girl was selling dynamite sticks, so I had to get the minion with the dynamite. Then I found a brothel inspector badge, and I'm like, oh, this is perfect for the minion. And so I've just kind of built little things into it as we go to kind of further his story and further what's going on. The only time a costume is finished is when you decide you're done working on it. There's always stuff that you can add. So, it's more than just goggles and gears. Yeah. Yes.
Can you be a villainous hero? Like, only killing the bad guys?
Yes. I'm villains, but chemistry. There is EMS. So, technically, we're villainous heroes. We might make you our patient, but we will patch you back up. Like you said, you pick your character. I went with who I related, which tells a lot, so I apologize for spilling too much. I related a lot to Harley mentality-wise, and maybe a little moral compass-wise. I was EMS for 20 years, so my moral compass is a little spinny, and that's why I picked.
So well, that and
I
triage.
Also get to hide behind a mask. I mean, I could be, because I started Harley when I was way younger than I am now, and I'm like, you know what, this is the year I'm going to retire. Because she's getting a little old, a little long in the tooth, and they're like, no, keep doing it. I was like, Harley literally is like a 20-year-old in the comics, which I was not 20 when I started it. So I guess they're like, you already broke that rule, so just keep going. But if you like your character, like, I'm assuming you love your look. Because you look so confident in it. The more you like your look, the more confident you'll be in all the different stages as you build it up. Because this is not how Harley started. I literally had my own pigtails and realized I could not keep dyeing my hair every year and still have a professional job with black and red. And I don't have these curls. I did not have these bands. But I had the duster because I went Wild West. Mm-hmm. And then I added the pistol and then we've done the belt. And if you were with us during Dinosaurs versus Robots, Shanghai, and now I've got a penguin to add to it today, so you just build and build and build, because even though I look at it, I'm like, oh, it's done, ish. Ish is always the key for me, because ish. There might be something in the vendor hall that just needs to be out.
But, oh, yes.
So if steampunk isn't tied into the era which you choose, how can you differentiate between steampunk and other forms of pop? Like, what makes it inherently steampunk then? If it's steam. if it's not specifically Victorian.
It's the steam. So it's 19th century sci-fi based off steam technology.
And so steam, how else would you show that if you don't show the corsets and the leather straps and the like the gears and things? How else would you show that?
The steam is one of the big thing, and I mean, it's like any other sci-fi. You look at Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar, Firefly. They are all futuristic sci-fis. But they're all their own kind of creation. There's differences.
But Firefly is recognized as steampunk.
In a way,
it still recognizes steampunk.
I think steampunk is just one of the ones I love it the most. But I mean, honestly, the way to say that steampunk is just saying that steampunk. Steam is the big difference between like steampunk and diesel punk and the others, because it's what you're using as your source of power. But at the same time, you look at the way we dress, just because we use fossil fuel doesn't mean I walk around with a gas can all the time. So not everything has to have a steam. But the gears and the goggles and everything is what makes it fun. And that's what some of mine really are. I just took one of my costumes, threw a few gears on, grabbed some goggles, and I'm like, it's steam. So you can go as basic as you want to just fit the general vision and understanding of what steampunk is, or you can go off in your own direction, because again, it's sci-fi, anything is possible, and you can say this is fitting in this world. It's also through your story, and as people talk and you explain to them what's going on, then they're going to understand where you fit in the steampunk. And that kind of freaked one of my friends out, because she was asking about building a steampunk character, and I said, well, I started going through all this, and I told her, you create a backstory, and she's like, I gotta create a story? I hate creating stories! I'm like, whoa, it doesn't have to be elaborate. My friend did an immersion thing, he got anything from like 3 sentences on backstories to full novels. You can go as crazy as you want, or keep it as simple as you want. And he looked at me after he read all those, and he's like, dude, we got some sick people in this group. So it can be as dark as you want.
So where do you go with, like, you invent a name and invent a story, and then where do you go from that? You just, like, get on the steampunk site and say,
and so if you've been to our tea dueling, there's Madame Askew. That, of course, is not her actual name outside of the convention, but she is known as Madame Askew. And when she shows up to Con, she is Madame Askew until she leaves. I mean, she does not break character, neither does the Grand Arbiter. So some of them are extremely elaborate. Even when she does her online social media live streams, it's Madame Askew. Unless she's doing it on her personal page, and then she goes, and the accents dropped, the characters dropped. So it just depends on what you want, because they have an entire backstory. They can tell you about what happened 10 years ago when the coffee bandits tried to take all their tea away from them and tried to pass off Lipton tea as tea. So they are very, very elaborate. I did not have to come up with too much of a backstory, because, you know, I was very gifted by having a nice gentleman create Harley Quinn and give me my backstory. So I was like, okay, I kind of cut the corners a little bit. But if you come up with your own look, you can make it, as you said, as elaborate as you want. You can come up with names, I used to do historical reenactment, and we had names. I could have told you where I was born, what I did, what my family did, because that's what I was doing. Here, Harley Quinn was so much easier, and I don't have to remember names. I'm like, it's Harley Quinn, and she's insane, so she doesn't have to remember your name. Chances are she'd be like, eh, anyway. But, I mean, it's an open book. Mm-hmm. There are no rules. You can gender bend. You can cross species. I mean, because we've got a few that come as Avatar, I think. I've never seen Avatar. Don't get mad at me.
Haven't either.
Yeah. But they'll come as different species. You've got Star Wars. So there is really no limit unless you tell yourself. Because other people might say, that's not steampunk. You just smile at them and go, okay. And just walk away. Because if it feels steampunk to you, then it's steampunk. Or if they say, you really shouldn't do that because, you know, that's a male character. Or female character or whatever.
I was going to say, I got a good one with Madame Askew. The day she was created, it was because her bonnet was askew. And a few of us were joking with her that, your bonnet is askew, madam. And that's where it came from.
So cute. How sweet.
It's like prisoner gangs. You know, your friends can give you a cool nickname.
Okay. Someone could be Hemlock.
Yeah, she passed both. The past con she did broke it by a real name.
Because, Orbit was an example because they asked me, they're like, what's his name? I was like, Orbit.
And they're like, okay,
so they had to pull up his registration because they asked for your name. And then they asked for your name. Because I was like, it's Orbit. That's all it needs to be. And they're like, yes, but actually they needed it for a specific reason. But yeah, there's people that they're only known as Orbit. Doc is only known as Doc. Thomas was known as Iron Man for a decade, because that's what he went as. So, like I said, there's no limit unless you decide to put the limit, or let somebody else put a limit on you. We've got Ivy in the background, and she became Ivy because I was Harley already, and she was like, hey, Harley.
It took her years to convince me. Yes, it took her years to convince me. I was like, I don't have the body type. I can't do that. No thanks.
She used to hide behind a mask as the red.
Yeah, I was the red hood for years.
Red hood for years. And I was like, come on. So now she's Ivy and stuff like that. So
I just have a question for you. Your hair, how to do that?
So my hair is actually black. So the bits and pieces underneath that are actual black, that's my actual hair. And then the rest I actually made synthetic dreads with synthetic hair that you can just buy. And so I braided some of them, I twisted some of them, and then I set them with heat so that they're a little wavy. And then I braided them and into my actual hair. So they are synthetic dreads.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, thank you.
You can have multiple characters. You can have, you can do as many different characters than that as you want. I many times will fit multiple costumes into a day because I have so many. And at times it's nice to change things up. Okay, I've been walking around in this for a while. I got nothing else to do. Let's go to the room, have some lunch, and get rid of these clothes and put on new clothes and make them all sweaty. But yeah, once you have your character, you walk around and do it, like you said, especially an original character, this is where you start building your story as she, as Harley was saying, because now you're taking your past story and you're building an experience. And it's everything that happens to you while you're in that costume. And sometimes you kind of spice it up a little. You're not going to say you were just walking around a convention, but, you know, you did something with Santa Claus, Kris Kringle, or whatever, you know. Take that out of the way you're doing.
Yeah, we may be cheating at the game today. There's no way. Another thing is also...
Why would Harley cheat? That's...
What I said, but you know what? They specifically put it in the rules that Harley does not get to play. I thought that was...
Your reputation precedes you.
Very in character. But also, like he said, you can change costumes because he does a lot. And then he's got, I do mashups because I was like, okay, Harley, after a while, gets a little boring. And sometimes this hat gets really, really heavy because the wig is actually on the outside and the inside of this hat. So a couple of years ago, I started mashing up. Whatever the theme was, I would change. I went as Wicked Quinn of the West when we did Over the Rainbow. So I went as Harley Quinn as the Wicked Witch. I had flying hyenas. They literally had all the flying suits on. And then tomorrow, because the theme is off the page, I'm going as my Sherlock Quinn. So I mashed up. I was like, how would Harley go as Sherlock Holmes? Because Sherlock Holmes is kind of an anti-hero. He's not always good. Some mental issues as well. And so I created a book and a feel for what it would be like if Harley was to be pretending to be Sherlock Holmes. Because it's just Harley. So you can have fun doing that. You could change it up. He does Gru. Then he does Kingpin. He does many a mashup with his Deadpool.
Well, it started with a car wash when he showed up in baby shorts as Deadpool.
That was a school group. Deadpool, it is a unique Deadpool.
But I did a Little Mermaid Deadpool for Denver Comic Con. And then I did some others. And next thing I know, my friends are telling me they want a calendar. And so that year I had enough different variations and clothing styles and that I made calendars. I will never do that again.
You still have some of those calendars? Cause, I have.
No, but I have the pictures if you want to have one printed.
Cool. You showed up at Wild West Con as Deadpool in a corset. And because, of course, Deadpool is not as gifted as some of us ladies are, he had kitties. So they were Hello Kitty corset.
So they were, yeah, and they were taped to the evolution of my crossplay. I started off, to make boobs, I took fibrofilm that you use in crafting. You stuff those down in your pantyhose until you get it about the size you want. And then you just kind of twist it, fold it over, and that's how you enhance yourself. So I had a couple of those because I later upgraded to foam, and now I have actual medical grade silicone ones. I've gone that far. But I took the fibrofilm ones, and I took the little Hello Kitties, and I duct taped them to that. And so they were sitting in here, and I kept having problems because they wanted to drift over and fight each other. So through that entire con, when we officially met, I kept being told, your kitties are wandering again. We need to fix them.
And then you'd have one kitty come up, and one kitty would get shot. But it was glorious. I mean, it made for amazing pictures, and it made for lots of fun stories. Did you guys see the Hello Kitties? Well, which one? Because one disappeared. Or there was two on one side. So every once in a while, you'd be like, you look like a Picasso. And so he'd be shifting them and moving them. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. And he always says he likes to do Deadpool for one thing, and that's so that if he can do it, you can do any cosplay or any steampunk you want. Because some people are like, I can't do it because I don't have the right shape. None of us have the right shape. I mean, even if you've got like the perfect body, it's still not the right shape because somebody's gonna find fault in it, right? Especially that person that owns that shape will be like, no, my feet are too big, my nose is too big, whatever. And so he likes to do the bold and daring looks because Deadpool is very bold and Hello Kitty was very daring because that way you can see others. I mean, it's hard for me to blend in. So if you see Harley, you're like, you know, if she can do it, maybe I can do the blue bird, which I, like I said, I absolutely love your blue bird. It's one of my favorite ones. Or you could also do simple Victorian, like you could do it because you see somebody else doing it loud. you're like, okay, if I do a subdued, I can still do it. Or if you want to go loud and bold, you know that you're not the only one that, because yes, going down the elevator, that's fun here. They just sort of like, we'll take the next one. Or I walk across the carpet and the security are just like, did you see the packet? I was like, it's just me, and then I'll forget I have the paint on, and I'll be like, then you can't go to the restaurants. Why? Because you're going to rob it. Oh, well, no, not really, but I get it, so.
Yeah, I have so many friends that have come up to me, and they're like, it's because of what you've done that I finally had the confidence. Confidence in everything doesn't happen overnight. This all goes into the next point, is we all start somewhere. That comes along with how well you feel going through the con, intricate your costumes and everything are. I have friends that their very first costume was amazing and contest worthy and everything, but that's because their jobs had them doing stuff that they knew how to craft foam and everything that they did, because they'd already been doing it in other things for 20 plus years. I don't have that same background. I'm not going to be able to make a full BioShock big armor, whatever the hell it was, just on my own and make it look the way he did. And that's fine. I can still try it. It's still good to learn. I can still go in and try and do something like that myself. I can choose a different medium to make it. It plays more to my strengths.
I'm looking for someone to take my picture.
We all start somewhere. So don't, no one should feel like you have to have the best costume right off the bat, or that you're going to feel perfectly comfortable in anything that you're wearing. My second convention, I went as Wolverine because I found a jacket that I'm like, this would work perfect for his street look when he's on a motorcycle. And I was worried as all could be, thinking I'd walk into this con and everyone would be calling me Fat Wolverine. And I was just very held back, very nervous. It was so hard. 5-6 years later, I'm Wonder Woman walking through in booty shorts with everything hanging out. And the first time I did that, it was hard too. I sat in the car for about 15 minutes going, am I really going to do this? And one of the things, whether you're worried about your costume or look, anything like that, you walk in and you just own it. You look like you fake the confidence until it's there. Because if you go walking in and you're like dead set, I'm here, this is me. Yeah, there's going to be some negative comments. There always are when you go that extreme. But the majority of people are going to either respect it or leave you alone. And so you want to focus on the positive coming when you're feeling like that, when it's that tougher point, you know. And I've had quite a few friends, and the reason why I chose Wonder Woman the one time, because I'd done a couple of fairies. Okay, so it's really sad. We were doing what it was called Gish and Grace International Scavenger Hop. We were supposed to serve ice cream to first responders dressed as a fairy. I'm in a group with like four girls and I was the only one with a fairy costume. So yeah, that kind of got thrown at me. Anyway, so I'd start off with stuff like that. I worked my way up to Wonder Woman and I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna, I don't know if I should build this for the con. I wanted to do it because it was my first time doing a cross-play panel that I put to the main con. And I'm like, coming up with excuse after excuse. Oh, it's overdone. I don't have a body type. Everyone's going to look at me funny. all that type of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? If someone was telling me this and I was giving them advice, I'd tell them, I don't care, do it anyway. So I listened to my own advice. I bought the booty shorts and the leotard and made the Wonder Woman stuff, and I walked in and I owned it. And, you know, I got an amazing response from it. Most everyone coming up loved it. That's what you're going to be looking at in this is the as you're pushing your limits and everything, you know, there's going to be times where you are a bit concerned, you know, as Ivy said, she felt worried about having the right body type, but she did it. And a group like this, it does make it easier because we have great people coming to this con that are going to support you. No, as long as you're not to the point where the cops have to be called.
Yeah, and I will say that even though I am one of the directors here at the con, this con we've always pushed to be very accepting, to be very open to just about anybody trying just about anything as long as there's consent. That's the goal. But this is a space that we hope you, if you decide I want to go big, I want to go bold, I want to even try it, that you would do it here, because if you do have a problem, just let one of us know. And there's like 10 of us that are kind of mama bears. And we will address it, because we've had people, when we were at Old Tucson, we had a lot of the public come in, and sometimes they were a little critical of stuff. They didn't stay very long, and the person that they were critical of never heard that they were being critical, the target of that. Because that is not what we want you to try, just about anything you want, and be safe here. Because we know some of the big cons, they do have sometimes reputations of being a little more picky. Like, I don't go to other cons because I know my Harley is not up to the standards of a comic Harley. And I'm not gonna deal with that because I wanna be Harley the way I see Harley, not, don't get me wrong, I love Suicide Squad. I love her as Harley. I don't want to wear blue and pink. I don't like those colors. And this body will never be in those shorts. I'm sorry. I know you're comfortable, I'm not. But I don't go because I know that I do my Harley very different than a lot of people expect to have Harley. But that's my choice because I feel safe here, I feel comfortable here. And if this is where you like to come out and be bold, we hope that this is a space that you do feel that. And if you don't, please, by all means, let me know. And we will figure out what it needs to happen to make you feel safe to come out and create your dream.
I had a question because, like, some Native Americans feel uncomfortable with both you dress in, like, Native attire. Like, I've got one of those bone beaded chest plates.
Because that's considered regalia, and that's their religious pieces. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is wearing it out of the context of a religious ceremony, it's no different than, say, you go and take a nun's habit and bring it, like an actual habit from a nunnery, and bring it where it still has that kind of, no, it's their religious articles. And especially here, being where we're at, it's a definite, you're preferred not to use their regalia by anybody that's not Native currently in a ceremony, because that is their request too. That's why if you see their artwork is covered up right now, it's because right now we're in their holy periods of time, and so they covered their art up for that. So it would be kind of along those lines.
Okay.
I wouldn't say the absolute no, but we would have to have conversations with both of the hosts because of their religious beliefs have to be taken into account.
And sometimes you can take what they have, not. There's respectful ways to do a lot of things. So you want to make what they're wearing, maybe have fabric that has kind of that flow to it. I don't know. But you want to find a respectful way.
Because I have a beaded what they call those chest plate things, mm-hmm. with the bones. But I don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, but in respects to the key and all of this, because in the cosplay, in general, you get a lot of the arguments over cultural stuff. And my friends did the, it's not geisha, it was a, from Mulan, the three music?
Yes.
Yeah, they did that, and one of the ladies who was a voice actress in Mulan loved it. They got a lot of praise for it from people from the culture, yet there were people screaming that they were doing cultural appropriation. And anything you bring in like that does take from an actual culture, there will be at some level some criticism.
Yeah, some people are getting crazy about cultural appropriation, and totally ignore some cultures too. It's like, for example, I mean, you never hear about it anymore, but my ancestors were traced back to before there was the United States. So
our the con usually sides on, is it in religious pieces in parts? Or is it less? Like, you could probably, Storm is a good example, because of course Storm is an African character from Africa, but a lot of people really love Storm. And I've seen all different shades do Storm, because they're not taking, but the religious pieces, that's where we're, because we don't deny pith helmets, even though that is a very hot subject, but in some circles. Because of colonialism and stuff like that. If you want to wear it, then wear it. He literally has one sitting right there. But we look at it as if it's a sacred piece to those people, whatever those people are, then we would prefer that you weren't, especially if it could be construed as maybe you're taking it or being disrespectful to that particular piece. Like, I would not probably wear this into a Catholic church, because I know that's not something that they would be comfortable with. Myself, I'm not Catholic, but I would think about where I was going and what I was doing with what I was bringing to that. Not that we'd have Steve Lincoln Catholic church, but I was just as an example. I would not go into a mosque like this, things like that. So that's what we kind of look at, is what are you bringing, and have people actually ask. We have had the hotel hosts specifically say, please no headdresses, because that's a Hollywood fallacy that really bothers them, and please no certain other things. So we respect it.
In any situation, I don't know the exact people to reach out to, because even as individuals or as groups, they're going to have different takes on it. It was like when they were complaining about the Washington football team's name, you get one person going around asking a group, and these ones are perfectly fine with it. These ones think that it's a horrible name.
That's the same way
it depends on who you're asking. My friend loves Japanese culture. She does a lot of different Japanese costumes, and she's very careful on what she pulls in. Her uncle sent her authentic Japanese robes and everything, and the majority of the people love it, but she occasionally gets people who are really against her wearing it. So you have to look at, as she said, where you're wearing it to, because the different festivals she goes to, some of what she's wearing is perfectly fine, but this other festival that's more strict, I guess, she doesn't wear it there. So there's a lot to take in on all of that.
So you could run it by some of the steampunk people and say, you know, is this beaded chest plate, is that appropriate or not?
Yeah.
For gear, I would suggest it goes through like Jason and Dina, and then they have a conversation, of course, with the host hotel.
Okay.
That's who we refer to, because that's the experts in that area, because that's their culture. Just like for ADA and stuff, we've got a lady that does our ADA compliancy and stuff like that, because that is her knowledge of expertise and stuff like that. EMS comes through me because that was my background. So we try to make sure that we are respectful to all the parties and give them a seat at the table, and then what comes up as an answer is what the policy. And it could be one individual having a conversation, or it could be a group having a conversation, depending on what it would be. I just know with like the headdresses and stuff, they did ask, so that was a one big note.
Okay.
Helmets, like I said, in some circles at some cons, you see that they're banned. Others, they're not in a conversation. So it can vary from literally piece by piece.
Yeah. Well, one thing I add is sometimes down through history, what's considered offensive has changed depending on what your point is. I mean, the Confederate battle flag. I mean, from my standpoint, I'm a native Tucsonan. To me, you know, when I am, my dad's side came from Mississippi. To me, you see that flag, it's not racist. But people immediately think, okay, certain section of that suddenly got labeled as racist.
Mm-hmm.
When I seen it, the face and pops in my mind is Dix Hazard, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a Southern symbol and not really a racist symbol.
Yeah. Those are outside debates. It's really hard because you can't tell someone what something means to them.
Yeah.
Because I have friends that are on both sides of that one as well.
Yeah.
But let's see, we're at the end, so it's wrapping up. Is your building, like I said, we're all at our own skill level on that, so you can make it as elaborate as you want. Simple's fine.
Store-bought is even fine.
Yeah. As we said before, if anyone ever tells you that what you're doing isn't steampunk enough, I hate those words. Again, this is your art. This is what you are portraying, your imagination. You are making it. And that's what makes it steampunk, is that you are making it for steampunk and having fun. So as long as you are enjoying it and you're having fun, then you're doing it right. So, if there's any other questions or anything as we go through the con, I change up looks. Some of them you might not know is me, because you can't see my face, but my belly's still very noticeable.
Are you always with the minions, or?
No, when he does Kingpin, he's usually solo, but he's got a cane. So there's telltale markers that you'll know. Oh, yeah. Deadpool does not always have minions either.
Yeah. Deadpool can have anything, yeah. We had Dr. Evil with the minion going down the zip line at Old Tucson at one point. But thank you for attending.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you for listening to the Creative Playin' Podcast Network. If you enjoyed our show, please check out D&D Journey of the 5th Edition and Ragnarok Enroll a Scion Hero to Ragnarok Story. Also, check out our Patreon page for more content and behind-the-scenes things, as well as joining us for a one-shot game or two.